Good evening, everyone. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again, this time leaving Northwestern, driving around Evanston, Illinois, actually just past Nogel Eastern's high school. And a beautiful high school it is. Looks like a castle. Purdue just beat Northwestern 61-58 at Welsh Ryan Arena. If you dedicated your Saturday night to watching this game on television, I probably don't feel like you were treated to the most aesthetically pleasing of basketball games, but you were treated, I guess if you're a Purdue fan, to a pretty eventful final 3 minutes. Purdue ends the game on an 11-0 run, doing to Northwestern what Maryland just did to Indiana a little while ago on their home floor, only worse because it was 11-0. Stealing victory from the jaws of defeat, basically. And that's where this game is kind of, you know, kind of your takeaways, I guess, as we'd call them, to use a cliched media term. It's kind of where, you know, things are a little conflicted here. It's like, you know, Purdue was flawless in the final 3 minutes, really, really good to win this game. But at the same time, it needed an 11-0 run to beat Northwestern, who has won 6 games this year, is in last place in the league. And, you know, you would have liked to have not been in the situation where you needed to do what you needed to do to win the game at the end. For 37 minutes, Purdue was pretty flawed again. A lot of its demons from the road thus far this season did resurface on Purdue and nearly cost it a game it could not afford to lose. This was, you know, I don't know if there's any distinction to be drawn between a must-win game and a can't-lose game. But this was one Purdue could not lose, because this probably, if I had to guess, this would have pulled the pin out of the grenade that is Purdue's NCAA tournament resume right now. Purdue would be a 500 team. Purdue would need to win a whole bunch of games that it would not have proven it's even capable of winning to make the NCAA tournament had they won this one. Does this one put them in the tournament? Of course not. Does this change their season? Of course not. But what it does is it does buy Purdue some time here to get some of these things holding it back figured out so that it can win some higher profile games than this one. You just could not afford to lose in the game that represents the last landmine, basically, of the regular season. And it nearly did. Northwestern, you know, was probably the better team for 37 minutes. Not by much, but by enough. But the singular reason Purdue won this game was because it was better in the final 3 minutes. That's it. You look at the box score, nothing about it says this is why Purdue won, nor does anything say this is why Northwestern almost won. This was simply about two teams that are very limited, that struggle to score, being relatively even for 37 minutes, and then one team being decidedly better in the final three. Obviously, Purdue makes two huge threes in the final minute. You know, I kind of feel bad. Jahad Proctor's three was enormous, but it gets overlooked because of the Stefanovic three that followed it and the play Eric Hunter made to set it up. Eric Hunter made two buckets prior to that were really, really important baskets. And, you know, we don't even talk about them because it came down to the final play. But that's where Purdue was really good. Offensively, whatever they'd been missing, they found it when they needed it most. Purdue made all the shots on the road late in the game. They haven't been making all season long. This was not the first time, you're probably well aware, Purdue was down 6 points or whatever it may be with 3 minutes to go on the road. This has been a relatively common position for Purdue to be in, at least in Big Ten play, or every road game they've played where they've been in that situation, they've obviously gone on to lose. They were way up on Ohio. That's the only road game they won prior to this one. This time, the final 3 minutes, everything was different. Chalk that up to the fact that Purdue is a better team than Northwestern, even though it wasn't for 37 minutes necessarily. You can chalk it up to Purdue just getting hot at the right time. You can chalk it up to Northwestern maybe getting some really good looks that it just couldn't finish. Maybe that's just what happens to you when you're in last place. You lose these types of games. Maybe you can chalk it up a little bit to the fact Purdue got what I thought was a 50-50 call at best on the possession. The ball that was originally ruled to have gone off of Aaron Wheeler and turned out to go out off Northwestern. You know, people ask me after the Rutgers game, can you remember any games where Purdue really benefited from a 50-50 call that went against the opponent for Purdue, because obviously a lot went against Purdue at Rutgers, and I really couldn't think of anything but the Minnesota game this year, where they had the play that I thought Eric Hunter fouled Marcus Carr, probably would have ended the game. And then there was a possession call in that game as well. But I thought Purdue caught a break to a certain extent. Maybe not necessarily because the ball obviously went out off Purdue. I don't know. I haven't even seen a replay. And I was sitting 500 yards away, so I'm not the one to tell you. But it's just these things need to be conclusive on review. And that's where I always have a problem with reviews is, okay, you might think this is true, but is it conclusive? It's supposed to be conclusive. And there were plays against Rutgers where how do you review this and find it to be conclusive? There are plays all the time in football. How do you review this and determine it's conclusive? Anyway, Purdue probably caught a break there. But Purdue probably deserves some breaks at this point. They've had a lot go against them this year. But the reality of this game was Purdue had to win. And it's proverbial back was against the wall. You know, whatever cliche you want to use, it qualified. And Purdue made the plays it had to make to win this game. But it also did a lot of things not so great for 37 minutes against a really, really struggling team on the road to lead you to believe that nothing about Purdue's road performances here are fixed. Maybe those last 3 minutes were lightning in a bottle. Maybe Purdue gets all the credit for what happened. I don't know. But nothing about this outcome, other than Purdue's got to be thrilled to death to get it, nothing about all that went into this outcome for 40 minutes says, hey, Purdue's fine now. Everything's good. They're going to win all the road games from here on out. This doesn't feel like the Wisconsin game last year where Purdue won a close game at Wisconsin, and then that turned their season around. This was Purdue keeping par to me and barely doing so at that. Purdue had to win this game. Style points never matter, but the lack of style points suggests that, hey, this was not the transformative road win that perhaps the surrealness of the final few minutes might lead Purdue to people to think, because it overshadowed everything that happened before it. That's what I'm saying. Just kind of beware of fool's gold. Don't let 3 minutes of basketball distract from everything that went on prior. I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm not saying that to bag on Purdue. I'm just saying that take this for what it's worth. This is a really good win for Purdue, but a win it absolutely positively had to have and just barely got. That being said, Purdue's thrilled to death right now, but the feeling would be very different if the last 3 minutes hadn't unfolded, had they unfolded. Purdue most likely would be out of the NCAA tournament. It would be, its season would be, you know, creeping toward the NIT. It might still be. Again, this is, you know, Purdue's got a lot to prove here. Purdue's got to play its way into the tournament. And you don't do it by beating Northwestern, who has 6 wins on a last second shot. So that's kind of where things are right now. I mean, obviously, you know, it was a pretty wild finish to this game, but we have to cover everything that happened before it too. And that's hard to do sometimes when one singular sequence overshadows everything else. So please don't think that I'm just harping on all the negative about this game instead of the positive. I want to represent the totality of this game because a lot went on other than what's going to get talked about most. So that's what I got. I am sitting in my parking lot now at the DoubleTree in Skokie, which is really fun to say. Gotta go get some sleep. I'm not gonna lie, I'm exhausted. So thanks so much, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Once again, this has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast, brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. And it's only now dawning on me, I think I forgot to do the live read at the start of this. I apologize profusely to all of you. I know you look forward to the promotional considerations. I apologize to our 6 sponsors for neglecting that. It is really late at night. I'm exhausted, and it slipped my mind. I was distracted by Nogel Eastern's high school. And once again, a beautiful high school it is. So thanks a lot, everybody. Take care. Bye.